Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Kevin, during the break, temporarily lost the play-by-play call of the day and then found it.
Capitals still in control. Ovechkin left side. Whistling, he scores!
Rather happy John Walton on the Capitals radio network as Alex Ovechkin scores a goal last night.
2-1 Washington. That's my favorite part.
I can hear it now. 14-7 Shrikalami.
2-1 Washington.
By the time you're done saying Shikalimi, they've already kicked off.
The break's over and we're already in the second half.
So that's the call, our play-by-play call of the day. We've been talking a lot of football here today. We're going to talk about bowl games here in a moment. But again, I went to the workout this morning. I really liked what I saw all the way through. Again, you're a little thinner at the defensive tackle spot. Again, none of the four recruits are here. Jake Zembiak's here, Connor McGovern's here, Alex Gellerstedt's here, and who's the fourth kid that's here? I came in early, but they're here. Somebody will call and remind me who the fourth kid is.
You had a co-host that had a memory, it might help, but unfortunately you don't.
No, I'll tell you right now, McGovern and Gellerstedt both did, in the strength area today. Both were really impressive watching them today. I mean, they are, for their age, physically really strong. And there with that offensive line group, Bates looks really good. Bates looks really good, as a matter of fact. And they're dialed in. It was a good workout this morning that they had. Really good. And I think they've got another one Friday. And I think they've only got one next week before spring break. Some schools give you spring break and you get a break and then you start spring practice, and others get on a charter and go someplace for spring break. Everybody has their own approach. But that's what I saw this morning. They really dialed in. Blacknall, Hamilton, Charles, Johnson, Polk. Polk looked really quick this morning. Now, keep in mind, they're doing all this without pads, but still, you just kind of really get an idea of how dialed in they are, how committed they are, how hard they're working. You get an idea of, for example, you look at a guy like Nick Scott, how adaptable is to him playing safety? Well, I'm out there watching some of the safety drills he's going through. Fits right in. Remember, he led the team in special teams tackles last year. He is not adverse to throwing his nose in there and making a play in the open field. I mean, he was the number one guy last year in tackles. And if you're wondering, for example, where is Koa Farmer, for example, Koa Farmer was with the safety group. Okay? So there's nothing dramatic like that going on. The only dramatic switch was Nick Scott over to safety, which everybody knew about anyway. You have not had offensive linemen flip over into defensive line. You haven't had Farmer going back to outside linebacker. He was with the safety group. So you have not seen that, in case people are wondering. And as I promised yesterday, actually a couple days ago, that I was going to go and check it out. And I was there for about an hour and a half this morning. I was there for an hour and a half. You, of course, thought I was insane for doing it.
That's really early.
But if you want to do the show right and give some people some information I think they're aching to hear, you make the commitment and go.
That's really early.
Yeah, well,
I credit you for that. I credit you for that, but it's really early.
I think we've had a lot of people listening and interested, though, don't you?
No question.
All right, now I want to get to a really great topic that you brought up. And it's about the number of bowl games. Now, believe it or not, there is a working committee on bowl games. It's a committee, I want to say, of 7 or 8. Guess who happens to be one of the people on the working committee, which is led by Bob Bowlesby, the Big 12 commissioner? Sandy Barber of Penn State is on this bowl working committee. And Austin, Texas, backed off having a bowl game last year. They want to get one this year. And Myrtle Beach has also put in for a bowl game. Little Rock, Arkansas, backed off.
Where would they play a bowl game in Myrtle Beach?
I would guess it would be a Coastal Carolina. So it'd be a small.
Yeah, that's. I don't know if that's a huge stadium or not. I've been by there many times.
But here's the working group. The working group has Bob Bowlesby in this bowl study. He's the Big 12 commissioner. He says there are too many bowls. Also in the working group, he leads it. Also in the working group are Arizona State Athletic Director Ray Anderson, Penn State Athletic Director Sandy Barber, Mountain West Deputy Commissioner Brett Gilliard, Tulsa Athletic Director Derek Gregg, Miami Athletic Director Blake James, Georgia Athletic Director Greg McGarrity, Conference USA Commissioner Judy McLeod, MAC Commissioner John Steinbrecher, and South Alabama kicker Aleem Sunanan. The bowl directors from the Alamo Bowl, the famous Idaho Potato Bowl, and the Football Bowl Association Executive Director Wright Waters are advising the group, and they're going to make recommendations to the NCAA Council. Now, keep in mind when it comes to the number of bowl games, here is an issue, and that issue is legal. There's no greater words that you hear a lawyer recite than "we're on retainer." So, hey, we're on retainer. This is great. The NCAA certainly has to keep those people on retainer. Let's take you all the way back to 2004 and the NIT. They sued the NCAA, you know, because they say they violated antitrust law because they require teams to play in the NCAA tournament if they were invited. In other words, you don't have a choice of saying no to the NCAA. The NCAA ended the case quite simply by buying the NIT. And they did so for $40.5 million. And then they also had to tack on another $16 million as part of a settlement. So that will hang over them as to how to handle certain things, something like that. For the moment, new bowl games are going to have to wait. Money becomes certainly an issue in all of this, because bowl requirements have been changed over the years and made a lot easier. A decade ago, a bowl needed $2 million as a line of credit. And over a 3-year span, they had to maintain an average attendance of better than 25,000. That used to be the standard. Today, those standards don't exist. And in fact, you don't even need a TV contract to do it. The Arizona Bowls are a perfect example. Nevada played Colorado State this year. No TV contract. It was online. Like, I remember in Philadelphia after doing the Drexel game, watching a little bit of that game online on my iPad. And you don't need any requirement for TV anymore. Although, of the bowl games, ESPN owns 13 of them. We'll get into that in a moment, which ones they own. So there's bowl certification that has to happen. Austin wants to be one of the bowls. Myrtle Beach wants to be another. Little Rock, Arkansas dropped out. The programming continues to be exponentially valuable. For ESPN, I mean, let's face it. If we did a poll of the audience, do you watch parts of other bowl games leading up to New Year's Day? I would venture to say that if you put a poll out there on SteveJonesShow.com, that we get a heavy response saying, "Yeah, I watch parts." Man, I mean, let's face it. I mean, I probably watch 10 minutes of a game here, 10 minutes of a game there, you know, based on free time, where I am. This year, though, you had 3, 5, and 7 teams play in bowl games. That then drove this point home. But as I pointed out when we went through the bowls, I said, I expect all 3, 5, and 7 teams to win because they're ultra hungry, and all three did. What about the money part? This is the part you love.
I'm still getting myself for the Myrtle Beach Bowl.
Yeah, don't worry about it. It's not happening at the moment.
Yeah, I don't imagine.
Now, these statements come from the bowl game finances as to what their assets are. All right? But does not include any one of the 13 ESPN-owned bowl games. The Sugar Bowl, net assets. Now, I'll give you the reporting year each time, too, just to be fair with each one, because it does vary a little bit here. The Sugar Bowl, in the reporting year was 13-14, $64.9 million. Orange Bowl Committee Incorporated, and these are from tax returns. Reporting year 13-14, $51.8 million. Arizona Sports Foundation, that's the Fiesta Bowl. And the reporting year 13-14, $50.6 million. Pasadena Tournament of Roses Association, reporting year 13-14, $33.8 million. Peach Bowl Incorporated, again 13-14, $24.1 million. This is in net assets. Cotton Bowl Athletic Association, reporting year 14-15, $19.3 million. The San Antonio Bowl Association Incorporated, that's the Alamo Bowl. Reporting year 14-15, $16.9 million. The Florida Citrus Sports Association, $8.8 million. The reporting year was 13-14. The Tampa Bay Bowl Association Incorporated, the Outback Bowl, 13-14, the reporting year, net assets $5 million. San Diego Bowl Association, which is the Holiday and Poinsettia Bowls combined. Reporting year was 14-15. Between them, $4.3 million in assets. The Gator Bowl Sports Incorporated, which, of course, is the Tax Slayer Bowl. Reporting year was 13-14. Net assets, $3.8 million. Liberty Bowl Festival Association. They reported 14-15. Net assets of $2 million. Tangerine Sports Association. Now, this is different from the Florida Citrus Sports Associates. Tangerine Sports Associates Incorporated, which is the Russell Athletic Bowl. Reporting year was 13-14, $1.6 million in net assets. The New Orleans Bowl Incorporated. 12-13 was the reporting year, and it was $1.5 million. Music Bowl Incorporated. Music City Bowl Incorporated. 13-14, reporting year, $1.1 million. The Sun Bowl Association, 14-15, reporting year, $950,000. D.C. Bowl Committee Incorporated, which is the Military Bowl, 14-15, the reporting year, just a shade under $400,000. Now, the Humanitarian Bowl, which is now the famous, the Humanitarian Bowl Incorporated. The last reporting year for them is 12-13, was $202,000. But the reason the last reporting year is 12-13 is because ESPN bought the bowl. The Mobile Alabama Bowl Incorporated, the GoDaddy Bowl, 14-15 the reporting year, $141,000. Independence Bowl Foundation, 13-14 the reporting year. They had run a deficit the previous 2 years, but in 13-14, net assets of $72,400. The San Francisco Bowl Game Association, the Foster Farms Bowl, reporting year was 14-15, lost $769,000. Now, let's get you to what ESPN owns. ESPN owns, through a group called ESPN Events, and they own and operate these bowls, and they have no reporting numbers on them. But the fact that ESPN owns them tells you they are forever safe. They are the Armed Forces Bowl, the Birmingham Bowl, Bahamas Bowl, Boca Raton Bowl, Camellia Bowl, that's in Mobile, Alabama, the Celebration Bowl, the famous Idaho Potato Bowl, the Hawaii Bowl, Heart of Dallas Bowl, the Las Vegas Bowl, the New Mexico Bowl, St. Petersburg Bowl, and the Texas Bowl. They own and operate all of them. Not the biggest one. They do the same thing with college basketball. They have the Champions Classic, the Armed Forces Classic, the Jimmy V Classic, the Jimmy V Women's Classic. They have the Charleston Classic in South Carolina, which, you know, Penn State's been in the Jimmy V Classic. Charleston Classic in South Carolina, Penn State's been in that. Puerto Rico Tip-Off Classic in San Juan, they've been in that. NIT Season Tip-Off, Penn State's been in that. The Wooden Legacy in Fullerton, California. The Avocare Invitational, held at the ESPN Worldwide Sports Complex in Orlando. Penn State's been in that. The Diamond Head Classic in Honolulu. Penn State has not been in that, and I'm still disappointed.
I don't blame you. I'd want to go to that one, too.
Come on, man.
And maybe the Bahamas Bowl.
I'm doing some game in Iowa. It's 18 below zero. What? Come on. But again, ESPN, they don't have returns on any of these. But you got to figure with the long-term ability that they have, Armed Forces Bowl, Birmingham Bowl, Bahamas Bowl, Boca Raton, Camellia Celebration, Famous Idaho Potato, Hawaii, Heart of Dallas, Las Vegas, New Mexico, St. Petersburg, and Texas Bowl. ESPN owns all of those, and ESPN Events operates each one of them. So when it comes to too many bowls, there's the issue. You got net assets for each one except for Foster Farms in the plus. Now, there are a couple that didn't report. There was no report on the Belk Bowl there and no report on the Pinstripe Bowl. I did notice that. And the Detroit Bowl.
Well, here's the thing. Is there interest? Yeah. Can it make money? It sounds like it could. The question is, how many times can you have a 5-7 team get into a bowl because there aren't enough 6-6 teams and still have that interest available?
Right, and that's a really good point. And the average margin of victory this year in the bowl games was slightly better than 15 points, which I think is one of the highest we've seen in years.
Yeah, there were a lot of bowl games that were not that interesting. You're right.
Right. And so this now comes into play as to what you have here. I mean, the Big Ten benefited because 5-7 Nebraska won its bowl game. 5-7 Minnesota won its bowl game. But you really don't want 5-7 teams in bowl games. I mean, did you earn the right to go? but they have spaces and they have openings. Now, part of it, too, is that there's certain teams, for example, that didn't meet their APR and weren't eligible to go, which is on the academic side. But the TV ratings also tell you that people watch. And look, ESPN, which carries every bowl game. Let's see, what didn't they carry? They did not carry the Arizona Bowl.
Sun Bowl.
They did not carry the Sun Bowl, which is CBS. And I think that's it.
I thought there was one more on CBS that was not on ESPN. And I want to say it was one of those games that was after the first.
No, they had all the games. There was a quadruple header that day. It was the Cure Bowl on ESPN? I don't think so.
There was one other one. I'm pretty sure there was one more on CBS. I'm trying to get the list now.
I think CBS Sportsnet carried the Cure Bowl.
Yeah, there was one. Yeah, that's CBS Sportsnet carried the Cure Bowl. There was another one on CBS Sportsnet in Tucson.
No, that game was carried on.
Oh, okay.
That ended up being carried on the internet.
And CBS, of course, had the Sun Bowl.
Yeah. So the ratings are decent, not awesome and incredible, but ESPN has all these other games, and except for that one pocket on New Year's Day where the Outback, the Citrus, and so forth collide with one another. Everything else has its own time slot and is singular. That's why, for example, Penn State plays the Pinstripe Bowl at 4:30 in the afternoon. That's why Penn State played the Tax Slayer Bowl at noon, because that was the time slot that was assigned, where you had the game all to yourself.
I just can't see. All right, I can see Austin. Austin makes sense to me if you're going to put a bowl game in. This is just location. I'm not talking about anything more than location. Austin makes sense. There's a big stadium there that you can use. I got that one. Charleston, South Carolina? I mean, Charleston Southern seats about 4,000. I don't see Buccaneer Field being the host of a bowl game. Myrtle Beach, you're talking about, now, believe it or not, Coastal Carolina there in Conway, just outside of Myrtle Beach, actually is set, I think holds now 9,000 and has the potential to grow to more, which they will. But I just don't see bowl games in those two stadiums.
I'm against either one of them. And I'm also, you already had the game in San Antonio is a great location to go to. You know, you got some great spots to go to. I've done a lot of these games, obviously. Tampa's great. Orlando's great. Jacksonville's fine, although we're out at Amelia Island, which was awesome, I have to admit. San Antonio's great. Pasadena's great. You know, down Miami, Fort Lauderdale. I mean, all these places are great places to go to. But how people aren't traveling in droves for these things right now. Penn State had a really good contingent down in Florida, and so did Georgia. It wasn't bad. It wasn't sold out, but it wasn't bad either. But so many times you look up at these games, and you don't see a lot of people in the stands. Take the St. Petersburg Bowl. ESPN owns the game. But when Marshall played UConn this year, they weren't exactly flooding the St. Petersburg market with lots of out-of-town interest. So I don't know. If I were to start dropping bowl games, I would start going to the cities that have multiple bowl games. Dallas, New Orleans, San Diego, Orlando. In San Diego, Qualcomm Stadium has two bowl games. Now, I realize Dallas has them in separate stadiums, but I remember going to do the Heart of Dallas Bowl 4 years ago. And even the signs leading up to the hotel talked about the Cotton Bowl Classic. It's like you don't even exist. When Penn State played in the Citrus Bowl, the Capital One Bowl, The guys that were in the Russell Athletic Bowl, they might as well have been disappeared.
Presidents Washington and Lincoln could have never imagined that their day would mean one thing. Huge deals at Sunbury Motors 4. SMC is celebrating President's Day now through the end of the month with their annual President's Day sales event. Choose from over 400 new Ford cars, trucks, and SUVs with savings up to 11 grand. Get from over 50 of the stylish 2016 Ford Fusion and take $3,000 off. Plus, get 0% financing for up to 72 months. And they start as low as $19,765. SMC has 75 of the top-selling 2016 Ford Escape with savings of $2,750. Plus, get 0% financing for up to 6 years. And they're priced from just $20,490. Last year, Sunbury Motors was one of the top-selling F-150 dealers in the entire Harrisburg and Philadelphia region. And they're loaded up with over 100 Ford trucks in stock with savings up to 11 grand. See for yourself why more people are heading to Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza. Proudly serving all of Central Pennsylvania since 1915.
When Woodrow Wilson was in the White House.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Keywords 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports bozos of the day. The
plural.
Questions asked over the years at the Combine. Listen to some of the questions at the Combine over the years.
Oh, these are good.
And you just sit back and wonder what... To me, these are all fireable offenses.
Yeah.
Every one of them. If you're going to ask questions this stupid, why are you wasting everyone's time? A scout at the Combine once asked, if you could kill someone and not get caught, would you? A scout of the Combine once asked if I thought my mother was attractive. A coach made a statement during my Combine interview. I see you have dreads. You smoke weed, don't you? A scout asked during the Combine if I had to murder someone. Would I use a gun or a knife?
Yeah, that was the one that I liked. I'm like, what?
Scout asked of the Combine, do you prefer boxers or briefs?
Yeah, I have no idea why. What character flaw does that show?
None of these. Yeah. These are stupid. Jeff Ireland asked Cowboys receiver Dez Bryant when he was coming out of Oklahoma State if his mother was a prostitute. Tight end Nick Casa was asked if he likes girls, and several wanted to know whether Manti Te'o was gay. The Browns asking prospects how many things they can think of to do with a paperclip. Gerald McCoy getting asked if he wears a jock strap or a G-string. Devin McCourty, what superpower would he choose to have? Obum Gwakum asked when he would lost his virginity. And Blake Bortles was asked if his girlfriend would be coming to dinner when the team came to town. All right. This is the Combine? This is what they do? This is what responsible adults are asking in job interviews? Bozos of the day.
Although I kind of like the, what superpower would you choose to have and why?
No.
Not for an interview. Not for a Combine interview.
Shut.
No. No, but that's a fun question. But not for a Combine interview.
I'm not going to ask that question. Anybody at job, that's irresponsible.
No. I'm just saying that's a fun question if you're sitting down with a bunch of friends and having a cool, refreshing beverage. What superpower would you choose to have and why? That would be a fun question for that setting, but not if you're applying for a job and that's what you're doing here.
That's a fun question to ask as you're standing in line to watch Batman versus Superman.
It's another good situation where it would work.
All right. Most others, no.
No.
You know, that just too much stupidity out there. Okay.
The Manti Te'o thing was the one that got a lot of attention a couple of years ago.
Well, it should have, but those are all bad.
Well, but that's a question you can't even ask in a regular job interview, let alone how in the world do you think it's okay here?
Those are all bad. The whole thing is wacky. All right. Very quickly, then we'll get back to football here in a moment. High-level hoops at 20 paces last night. Wow. Roman Catholic won the Philly Catholic League last night, and the three Penn State recruits came up huge. They beat Newman Goretti last night, 72-65. Lamar Stevens had 22 points and 13 boards. Point guard Tony Carr had 21 points, and Nazir Bostic had 12 points and 12 rebounds. And eight of his 12 points were in the fourth quarter last night. The three Penn State recruits averaged, or excuse me, came up with, 53 of the 72 points last night. And Roman beat Newman Goretti, and you had to shoehorn people into the plestra last night for it.
Now you said yesterday it was sold out.
Yep, 72-65 was the final. Goretti now goes on to the AAA playoffs. Roman to the Quad A. Each has a legitimate shot at the national state championship. But that was big time stuff last night. And the fact is, Penn State basketball recruits came up big. Expect Carr, Stevens, and Bostic to enter school here at the end of June, but expect Joe Hampton to possibly enter in May. Because Oak Hill Academy graduates from high school earlier than Roman does. Just something to look at and think of. Patrick Chambers, Coquise Washington on the talk show coming up tonight. And then we have the game for you on Thursday night, 7 o'clock, 6:30 the airtime. Let's see. All right, back to the football conversation. We talked a lot about the combine and the questions they're going to get. Like I said, Christian Hackenberg will answer some questions pretty well. He'll have the ability to sit there when they rack up a video and say, okay, look, pre-snap, all right, 52 is the mic, 43 is down, 50 is up, which is setting protection. I'm going to move the tail back to the right side here. I see blitz over here on the right-hand side. He'll do that. When it comes time to throw, and he is going to throw, by the way, in the combine. I believe all the quarterbacks are throwing. There is not one that's sitting out. So they're all going to throw. Goff, Wentz, Lynch, Hackenberg, they're all throwing. So nobody's sitting that out. But he'll wow them with that. I mean, when they do indies and 7-on-7 stuff, he's going to... You know, he's going to show off a powerful arm. And when he's able to step into a throw without pressure all over him, he steps, he throws an accurate ball. And that's what he'll do. Now, Austin Johnson's there. Anthony Zettel's there. Carl Nassib. Nassib's drawing a lot of interest from some people. Austin Johnson's rated to be a very late first, but into the second round pick. Zettel's interesting. Zettel is somebody who is between 275 and 280. So is he an end? Is he a tackle? Is he a combo? What is he? He is a really good football player, that's for sure. And then there's Jordan Lucas. I'm not sure how much Jordan Lucas can do there. He can do the run and jump stuff and things like that. But he skipped the Senior Bowl because that shoulder still wasn't quite right. Now, it's been a month since the Senior Bowl, so he might be okay for this. But those are the five guys that have gone to the combine from Penn State. And then they'll have pro day here. It's not the combine's not the be-all, end-all. There'll be another pro day here, and all of them can elect to work out here, too. And usually they do. And I want to say the 17th of March, I think that is Penn State's pro day. I think it's March 17th. And I believe NFL Network wants to do something with Christian about miking him up.
For pro day or for the combine?
Everything.
Ah. Does he get to pick the receivers at the pro day? At the pro day, he picks his receivers, obviously. What about at the combine?
Nope. You get who you get. So, which is fine. You're gonna have to.
You're gonna learn to get used to new guys.
Yep. You have new guys anyway. So what's the difference? I mean, yeah. What's the difference? Now, when he gets the pro day, he can throw to whomever he wants here. He can pick out anybody he wants to throw to at pro day.
By the way, for those interested, Barcelona beat Arsenal 2-0. That is in the round of 16.
Yes, that is the UEFA?
UEFA champions, yes.
Yes, yes, because in the FA, they tied Hull City the other day, 0-0, and now they have to have a replay in March. There's no overtime in the FA Cup. So you have to have replays. So then I have to replay Hull City, which showed as much offensive inclination as I am right now.
Now, as I understand it, all of these things are like massive tournaments where basically every league is involved, and then they try and come up with an overall champion. Is that, do I understand that right?
The FA Cup,
right,
is similar to the movie Hoosiers, where every single team in Indiana was fighting to win one state championship.
All right.
So, regardless of league, Hull City was relegated. They now lead the Champions League at the moment. You are stunned. I know this.
I am slightly impressed. I am.
Right now, Sean Carey is falling down in another studio listening to me say this.
You've been talking with your friend there that is your producer for basketball there, I believe.
Him and a couple of other people. Hull was relegated. They now lead the Champions League. So now they're in the verge. By winning the Champions League, they would move back up into the Premier League. So they played Arsenal. And they ended up 0-0 on Saturday morning.
Jeff Tarman would be so proud of you right now.
Well, I mean, right now, Sean Carey is sitting over in the other studio. He's falling down that I know this.
Yeah, I think he's a Chelsea guy, though.
Well, that's his problem.
Well, and Chelsea won big 5-1 over the weekend in the FA Cup.
Of course they did.
Beating Man City.
Yeah, you know what? The interesting thing, though, is that the European Premier League teams don't care. They said the problem is in the FA Cup is that the EPL teams sit guys out. I mean, Arsenal did not play its top line guys because they were saving them for today for Barcelona. You can see how well that worked out.
That was a miserable failure as Lionel Messi scored twice for Barcelona.
Messi never sits out. Messi always scores. How much is that dude worth on the open market? All right. Shocking European Premier League talk today.
That's the most we've talked soccer in decades. On the show or just you and I.
I mean, the bottom line, people didn't know really. Look, I know Hull leads the Champions League. I know they got relegated. I know the score from the other day. You're shocked. They're driving off the road near the bridge in Sunbury.
We're going to have to put a disclaimer on the program when we talk about the European soccer.
There you go. All right. We'll come back. We'll get back to real American football in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Presidents Washington and Lincoln could have never imagined that their day would mean one thing. Huge deals at Sunbury Motors Ford.
SMC is celebrating President's Day now through the end of the month with their annual President's Day sales event. Choose from over 400 new Ford cars, trucks, and SUVs with savings up to 11 grand. Pick from over 50 of the stylish 2016 Ford Fusion and take $3,000 off. Plus, get 0% financing for up to 72 months. And they start as low as $19,765. SMC has 75 25 of the top-selling 2016 Ford Escape with savings of $2,750. Plus, get 0% financing for up to 6 years. And they're priced from just $20,490. Last year, Sunbury Motors was one of the top-selling F-150 dealers in the entire Harrisburg and Philadelphia region. And they're loaded up with over 100 Ford trucks in stock with savings up to $11,000. See for yourself why more people are heading to Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza. Proudly serving all the central Pennsylvania since 1915.
When Woodrow Wilson was in the White House.
Welcome back. We're brought to you today by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And Kevin has another great vehicle he's driving this week.
A 2016 Ford Fusion is what we're featuring this week, because right now you can get a 2016 Ford Fusion for under $20,000. That's with $4,000 in rebates and the Sunbury Motor Company discount. Now, if you'd like special financing, only this month during the President's Day sales event, well, you'll be able to get $3,000 off the sticker and 0% interest for up to 72 months. So depending on how you want to do it, $4,000 off the top will get you into a certain 2016 Ford Fusions for under $20,000. $3,000 off and 0% interest for up to 72 months also available. And you can get them nicely equipped with the big 8-inch display, navigation optional, or the sunroof. And there will be a time in the near future that you will be using the sunroof, and it will bring in the nice warm sunshine that you haven't felt all winter long. That's if you have a 2016 Ford Fusion with a sunroof from Sunbury Motor Company, that is.
All right. Today I went to the workout 5:30 this morning. Really liked what I saw. I mean, leaner, much better muscle definition. Really quick. I saw a lot of speed out there today. There are a lot of guys on this team that can run. Manny Bowen can run. John Reed can run. Grant Haley can run. Garrett Taylor. Amani Oruwariye can run. Obviously, Saquon Barkley can. Brandon Polk can fly. And you could see that on display today. That they, you know, they have had a really good, productive winner. I thought the two quarterbacks, I thought McSorley and Stevens in particular, I thought looked really quick today. Really quick. And first chance I've had a chance to look at Connor McGovern and Alex Gellerstadt as offensive linemen. And they impressed. And I thought Ryan Bates impressed. I mean, Bates is, I'll tell you, they only throw out another name that's working his backside off, right? Ryan Monk doesn't get mentioned. Ryan Monk has really worked his tail off in the classroom and also in what they're doing out on the field. You know, Colin Castagna is another kid. No, he's got something going here. I really like the direction he's going. He's finally getting a chance where now he's really starting to get some depth, form a team. He's going to be really young this year. But James Franklin's had to go through that transitional process, and now they're starting to finally come out of that transitional process. And the transitional process is maddening for him. It's maddening for you as fans. It's maddening for everybody because it's not up to the standard, obviously, in a transitional process that Penn State's had when they've been at full strength. Well, now they're starting to make the turn out of that. They're not quite there yet, but they're almost there. Now it's a question of filling a few more gaps along the way, getting more experience, and establishing some depth. And I think they're getting close at all of those areas based on what I watched this morning. All right, wraps it up for today. We'll have a writer on tomorrow that covers Nebraska basketball. They're in here on Thursday night at 7, 6:30 the airtime. Rematch with Nebraska.
tonight, Patrick Chambers and Coquise Washington on the Penn State Coaches Show. Lady Lions, by the way, tomorrow night play their final home game of the year. They've got, I think, Northwestern tomorrow night. I'll talk to Co about her team and Patrick about his team. And that's all coming up tonight. It's the Penn State Coaches Show, 6:05 to 7:00. Fun day today. Love talking with you, as always. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Humble's Wharf.